Singapore's median monthly household income crosses $12,000, and that is up 6.8% after adjusting for inflation. To be exact, it is $12,446 per month per household. Wow, but I certainly didn't get more than 6.8% salary increment eh? So why does this number look so high this year? And it is definitely not just due to inflation. The answer is that SingStat has changed how they calculate the income for the first time ever. And once you see it, this number makes a lot more sense. This news article is just a short summary of the 33-page long report. So let's go through all the data in this report together so that I can help you make sense of the numbers. And if you're new here, my name is Chris, an ex-chartered accountant turned personal finance YouTuber, and I run a Telegram group of close to 23,000 members, so you can join us for free for personal finance discussions. Now let's start with a change in definition, because the way employment income is calculated has changed and is different from before. In the past, it is only salary plus employer CPF, but this time round it's different. So employment income now includes market income, and that includes investment income like dividends, CPF interest, rental income, and regular payouts like annuities and CareShield Life. They also now include non-employed households like retirees, which were previously excluded from this report. So the number didn't just jump because everyone got richer. It's just the measuring tape is different. So if you move on to page 10, you can see a simple version of the flow chart. Salary plus anything else your money earns equals to the market income. And that is the new headline number. But I know what some of you are going to say. How about the real income after inflation? That's where we move on to page 11, the nominal income versus the real income. In actual dollars, income grew 7.7%, while after adjusting for inflation, it becomes 6.8%, which means that the inflation year on year is only 0.9%. And I know what some of you feel. Hey, 0.9% doesn't feel high, leh, but I feel very high impact from the year-on-year inflation on my grocery prices, my food prices, and my transportation prices. But the truth is that this is the CPI-based number, which is calculated from the Singapore Department of Statistics. I think the more useful figure is the income per household figure, which rose from $3,837 to $4,160. Because you have to understand, a household of two people versus a household of five people are very different metrics. How about if you look for the past 5-year trend, and this is from page 12. From 2015 to 2020, the real income just grew 0.4% per year, which is like almost nothing, no impact for 5 years. But if you look at the trend from 2020 to 2025, it grew 3.2% per year. And that includes the high inflationary period from 2022 to 2023. So that signifies a very strong recovery. Now, page 13 shows a very surprising inequality story. And I'm sure that most people would expect this. But if you look at it, the bottom 10% of households saw their real income grew by 12.8%. How about the top 10%? It just grew 3%. And you see, every decile shows the same pattern. The lower you are, the higher your income growth. But before you take that 12.8% at face value, here's the data you need to look at. If we zoom into the footnote and based on the asset stats, you'll realize that in that bottom group, 5.5% owns a car, 19.8% employ a domestic helper, and 6.7% live in private property. And how is this even possible? Because the truth is that 49.3% of them are retirees aged 65 or older. And the fact is that since they are retired, they do not have any employment income, so they belong to the bottom decile. But the truth is that they are living off their fully paid homes and their retirement portfolios, their cash savings and whatever parental allowance that they are receiving from their descendants, which this data is unable to capture. So the bottom decile is not really about poor people and low income. It's more about they are in the retirement phase. But I want you to bring your focus to page 15 because this is where you will need to take actionable steps. In 2015, the employment income was 85% of the household's market income. In 2025, this number is down to 79.5%. And meanwhile, you look at the investment income, it grew from 10.2% to 13.5%. So you look at this pattern. The median Singaporean household is relying less on employment income and more of this outside of employment income that they can earn. And that is not a coincidence because you will realize that these are the compounded returns year over year from their investment strategy that actually bear fruit. And this is exactly what Longbridge is built for. Whether you are starting with a small monthly investment in a global ETF or building a dividend income stream, Longbridge gives you lifetime zero commissions and zero platform fees for US, Singapore, and Hong Kong stocks. Sign up with my link here and you can get an exclusive 5% interest boost on $2,000 for 365 days worth $100. Plus, you can get some free stocks based on your deposit tier. For example, in tier 2, you deposit $10,000, hold for 90 days and make 5 buy trades, and you can get $300 worth of NVIDIA shares. That's roughly a 12% annualized returns just from the welcome rewards. So check out the link in description or scan this QR code right here to get started with Longbridge today. Now back to the report, I want to take a look at page 19, which is like the Robinhood chart. And this is probably the most underreported data from the entire report. If you are in the bottom 70% of the Singapore household median income, you are actually a net receiver. You get back more in GST vouchers, USAF rebates, and subsidized services, more than what you pay in tax every single year. If you look at the top 10%, they pay an average of $27,217 in taxes per member, but they've only received around $2,700 back. And that is roughly a net contribution of $34,500 per person per year. So the next time somebody says Singapore is a tax haven for the rich, you can show them this chart. I also want to bring your attention to page 20 about the Gini coefficient, which is the standard measure of inequality. You'll realize that it dropped from 0.46 to 0.452 in the past year. And this is the lowest since the records in 2015. After factoring in transfers and taxes, it dropped to a further lower number of 0.379, which is like a record low. So on every single measure, inequality is falling. Not because the rich is getting poorer, but because the bottom is growing faster and the fiscal system of Singapore is distributing the resources more aggressively. So what is the takeaway from this entire report of this 12,446 household median income? The truth is that not everyone will get a raise. But with the Singapore wealth maturing, we are moving from a salary economy to an asset economy, where you need to own assets to earn more market returns. And this is already backed by Singapore government statistics. So do you just want to rely on your salary or you want to build your assets? And if you want to start building your investment assets, definitely consider the sponsor of today, Longbridge, to start your investment journey and even get all these welcome rewards while you still can. So comment salary plus one if you want me to deep dive into more salary data, because there's so much more to talk about regarding the income statistics. And I know some of you are wondering, I still feel that this 12,446 number is still unrealistic. Then I can refer you to my previous video where I talk about the median income of $5,700 over dollars in Singapore right here.